So Matt Ryan is warming up the receivers today? Is that what's going on out there? He's tossing it around? Is he suiting up is the question.
The two pro teams he played for, remember? Thanks to somebody in the building wanting Deshaun Watson.
Apparently, who are you talking about?
Apparently nobody will ever come clean on who wanted Deshaun. He just magically appeared at Falcons headquarters one day. But anyway, yeah, Matt got traded for a third rounder. And, of course, promising start and went south pretty quick up there in Indy.
Yeah, I'm joking because Matt has already said I'm not playing. Right. But he has been out at practice, and he does this even when they're here, warming guys up and throwing the ball around. A couple of things. Cooper Rush, Jack Strand, that is, will split halves on Saturday. We kind of figured that would be the case. Does it matter who starts, who doesn't? No, they'll both get a half. So no Tua, obviously no Penix. Za'Darius Smith coming from Coach Stefanski today saying he brings energy and presence to the edge room. Okay, let's get him right so he can help us. Again, Mike, I don't know how many snaps we're talking about. And the Falcons plan to clear Michael Penix and get him acclimated. We'll cross that bridge when Penix is cleared. That's what Stefanski said today.
I need to know. I need to know now. Man, said it on Twitter. We were talking about this off the air. Like, Tua's blowing a great opportunity, as we said. You know, a great chance to, you know, kind of reinvent yourself. And, you know, even if it's not a contract here with the Falcons, we always said the rosiest scenario was he comes in and he gets like a Darnold deal if it's not here somewhere else. But, you know, he's got to get to square one. I mean, it's a veteran quarterback. Shouldn't be like, you know, I get it. There's nuances to every new offense, but look better than what he's been out there. Small sample size, not overreacting to what we saw last Friday against the Broncos, but we're not hearing anything positive, really, if we're honest, from Indianapolis.
He's going
to
get walked down.
No. I'm sorry?
He's going to get walked down.
Who is?
Tua.
Walked down as in a track meet kind of walk down?
Yeah.
Penix ain't got no legs. How he's going to walk him down?
Penix is going to walk him down.
Yeah, look, I don't think that this is going to be hard. If things continue to go this way. But the thing that is I think, again, misleading, you just heard D-Led say that the Colts posted a video out there of DeForest Buckner taking advantage of Chris Lindstrom.
Right.
But Chris Lindstrom also had good plays against him. Where's that at? Right. See, that's the stuff that's misleading. Two, again, not as bad as it seems, but you see the pick six. You don't see the completions that he made. And so those are the things that are misleading. But you're right, Mike. I want more positive through these practices in preseason for everybody, then I want negative. Because that makes you feel like, hey, we're heading in the right direction. Right now, Falcon fans, it doesn't feel like we're heading in the right direction.
No, and you know, it goes two ways. You know, the PR team for the Falcons, if you post a video or somebody out there who's covering the Falcons post Michael Penix's ball, beautiful spiral.
That's right.
In the
That's
air.
Right.
And then, you know, we're also finding out, you know, 7-on-7, the ball shouldn't be hitting the ground. You know what I mean? That's part of it, and we're, you know, so there's still a lot of work to be done. That's why, you know, and a guy hit me up just on the text line just now, going, "Stop saying gap year." Well, okay, a year where we clear the decks for cap, don't really have all the pieces in place on defense, and don't know what a quarterback. What else would you call it? That's why I keep using that phrase, brother.
Look, I said to you when you said it to me, and I got upset that day you said it. I don't want to hear it. Mm. Because we expect more from this franchise. And, oh, by the way, for everybody who was saying, hey, we got the right coach, there's a lot of people right now saying, hey, you get what you pay for. Now, I'm not ready to go there yet. But
we haven't even, the guy hasn't even coached a game that matters. You guys want to throw Stefanski out with the bathwater?
That's where this goes. I mean, that's where it immediately goes, Mike, because you go, wait a minute, you got a guy that's played 70-plus games in the NFL. You can't get him right. You got a guy that's hurt. What's happening there? And then you can't run the ball, but yet you said that was going to be the key to your offense. Like, they're throwing out all this stuff. And my point, again, they hadn't played a game yet. I know it feels like what the hey is going on, but we hadn't played a game yet.
Right.
But guys, this Pittsburgh game is going to be very revealing. Steelers have a very good defense. We're about to find out if we can run the ball or not. Okay? Week one. If Bijan's held to 30 yards, trust me, Falcon Monday will be in here and talking about what the hell is going on with this offensive line, who, by the way, is supposed to be one of the strengths to this team.
Right. Right. I mean, like, we've got some good things that are going to be going on with this team. We talked about the rookie class. I think these guys, I'm not saying, as you brought up earlier, the you know, correlation with 2016 that D-Led talked about and how well we nailed the draft. But I think we do have some really young pieces. Got to give credit to Fontenot. I mean, it took him a while to figure out defensive draft, but he drafted some really good defensive pieces. But, you know, you still lost. You lost sacks. I mean, you don't really have a guy you know can do what Caden Ellis did. It wasn't Caden Ellis was not like a Pro Bowler, but I think you said last year we take it for granted sometimes. You're going to replace that, and hopefully Divine Diablo can do that. And Christian Harris is in the other role, but you know the front seven. It's still, it's just a, we don't have that big, Vita Vea, by the way, just signed a 1-year deal.
Yeah.
An extension, I should say, with the Bucks. We don't have a Vita Vea. You know, we don't have that guy in our 3-4.
We never have.
You got to go back to like Grady Jackson to have the big space grab an animal. Yeah, you know what I love in the middle.
But I will say the absence of Mason Smith and Deshaun Hand and Laquelle right. Dunn, those guys aren't practicing, right? And that's a big part of why they went out and acquired those guys. They wanted big space eaters. Right. They're not Vita Vea. But again, in a rotational system, you can maybe get that kind of production from those big size guys, and that's what they're looking for.
And we found out today that Jake Matthews is dealing with an undisclosed injury, so he only played one series of the 11-on-11s today, according to Josh Kendall. So he's going to be out. So if you hear that this struggle with the offensive line today, Carl, on one side, it's going to be you know, Finley or Jarrell. I mean, Finley College, Michael Jarrell. Sorry, Finley Roofing. We joke around about George Jarrell went to school. But it'll be Jarrell basically presumably playing left, and you'll have Juwan Taylor right tackle.
Yeah, he's becoming the swing tackle. What did I tell you about this whole other dude at tackle? I don't think he's that good. We'll see how it all shakes out. But
well, I mean, you're talking about Wanye Morris,
correct?
And again, another guy. You got an opportunity to get a big foothold in this organization, reinvent yourself from being a backup in Kansas City, and he's kind of not exactly had a stellar camp.
No, and he came in with an advantage,
right?
Because you know, Juwan
Taylor, all the reps because Taylor wasn't here.
That's right, Taylor wasn't working. All right, man, we got more to dive into as we will continue to talk about what's going on up there at Indy, practice getting underway. So stay tuned. We'll fill you in on all of that. But right now, let's get to 4th and 1. Bum, 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 bum. We have preseason football tonight, guys. Raiders at Texans. That's an 8:00 start. I want to see because, again, you got the first overall pick, right? I don't know what Clint Kubiak's philosophy is. I knew what his dad's was, but I don't know if it's his going into these preseason games. It's on ESPN. The 49ers and Chargers, that's the late game on NFL Network tonight.
Right, Chargers dealing with an injury to their center. 49ers have had, well, again, everyone says they got a haunted training facility next to that the power station. So everyone gets zapped or something happens there. But either way, I want to see this tonight. So I really want to see your point on Mendoza in the first game, what he's all about. At the Raiders.
Yeah, and again, it's preseason, but he looked pretty good in his first preseason outing.
There was those tight windows, man. He was putting the ball out there on schedule. Yep. So, I mean, like, I think he's got tremendous talent. Another quarterback with great talent says, feels like it's now or never. Who am I talking about? A quarterback says it's now or never.
It's got to be Lamar Jackson.
No, but same division. Joe Burrow.
Oh, well, he's right. He's right. Look, I think if they don't win this year, Joe Burrow's out. And I don't mean, like, cut. I think Joe Burrow says, get me the hell out of here.
Yeah,
I've given you everything. Now, I know I've been hurt, and you've tried to do right by me, but, Mike, we know that's a cheap organization. I don't know what the Bengals are going to do this year. Everybody's picking, you know, the Ravens to win that division. People are saying all of a sudden Mike McCarthy has re-energized these old guys with the Steelers. Okay, so, look, that division is always pretty damn good. I have no expectations for the Browns, but you still got to play them. I just, yeah, man, I think that Burrow is probably going to force his way out if they don't do something special this year.
Pro Football Talk reporting that he was asked if he's treating 2026 as now or never. Burrow said, that's how I'm treating it. That's how I'm feeling about it. So, because it is. You just laid it out. We talked about Josh Allen with Buffalo. They fire a coach to keep the offensive coordinator. So basically the same philosophy in place. You know, you've got a guy like Lamar Jackson you just brought up. They've got to get paid. First, they got to get the playoffs. I mean, you're going to look at Lamar Jackson and say, this is going to be like, I'm no disrespect to Dominique, but it's going to be like an amazing highlight reel, but you won't have a ring.
Yeah. No, it's that's the way it's tracking right now. He's won a lot in this league. There's no debating that. But again, the legacies are built in the playoffs. Mike mentioned Vita Vea, guys. What they did was they guaranteed his money. They didn't give him new money. They extended him and basically said, all right, you're going to make $30 million. And then the last year of your contract, this is what you're making, but they guaranteed that money. So for him, he went from no guaranteed money to getting guaranteed money, and now $6 million in new money for this season when you talk about upping the salary. he got exactly what he wanted, Mike, and he just had to sit out to get it. Right. And they know they're not a championship team without Vita Vea.
No, I mean, that's a dude that we know what he's capable of. We talked about some of the tackles in this division, you know, up in Carolina. Derrick Brown. That's something that, you know, that we talked about with Ryan Neusel. He's got to deal with every day. And Bergeron's got to help, as does Lindstrom. Dan Campbell saying that Atlanta's own Joshua Dobbs will get a start for the Lions. Still playing football.
That kid, man.
Came in here with the Vikings. Doran, what was it? 2 days he was on the roster?
Fresh off the plane. Yeah,
like less than 48 hours.
Fresh off the plane.
Like he found out like the players' names, I think, like the day of the game.
Yeah. It was that might have been one of, if not the, okay, it's not the most embarrassing loss we've experienced. Right. Well, one of.
It's up there.
One of.
The year that Heineke threw that lollipop up in the end zone for the Redskins, remember that? And like the ball was in the air for like 10 minutes. It's like, knock it down! Yeah. And we couldn't.
I think it was Lamade scored that touchdown too, wasn't it?
Oh, that's a good call. Right. He was with the Commanders.
You want to make a whole next 3 hours? We could do the worst Falcons loss.
Boy, it's a long list. It's a long list. But that one stands out because I was like, man, Minnesota. And then they didn't have a quarterback.
When the Dolphins beat us at Mercedes-Benz.
Last year.
A couple years, and a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Who was the wide receiver that ate our lunch that year? Remember a couple of years ago, a wide receiver came in here with the Dolphins. And just, I mean, he had a field day. Yeah. I mean, we could go on and on.
I'll look it up.
let me hear.
Hopefully not going to happen this year, but without a pass rush, guys. Again, I had this, I think you and I talked about this Monday. When you're playing that cover two, you know, you're playing the defense all over once, you've got, if you don't generate heat with your down lineman, you're dead in the water. Then you got to blitz. And sometimes I wish he blitzed more. And sometimes I wish he'd keep blitzing and not then go back to, you know, three down linemen when it's a third and like 25. Yeah. But enough about that Colts game.
Von Miller on why winning a Super Bowl in Dallas is different. Here's what he said. He just signed a 1-year deal.
It answers itself. You know, it's the Dallas Cowboys. I won a Super Bowl in Denver. We had a million people out there. We win a Super Bowl with the Rams. It wasn't as much. You know, it was the parade. We were stopping at red lights and stuff. You know, it's just we still won a Super Bowl and it's still exciting. It's still dope, but it's just a different feel with those two organizations. If, you know, I was with the Buffalo Bills and we ended up winning the Super Bowl, it would be a holiday in Orchard Park. It'd be a holiday in Buffalo. Like, everybody remember that. It'd be statues for everybody. That's just the type of organization that they have, the type of fans that they have. Dallas Cowboys fans are in that same type of strain. They're not the same. Bills Mafia, Cowboys Nation is totally different things. That's not what I'm saying. But the fans here are diehard fans, and if we're able to do that, if we're able to have a successful season and win the Super Bowl, like, it'd be a holiday in Dallas as well. Like, people love the Dallas Cowboys. They either love them or hate them, but at the end of the day, they all root for the Dallas Cowboys. And for us to be able to win a Super Bowl, it'd be crazy in Dallas. It'd be a holiday as well.
Yeah, it is. But it's been a long time. Right. But Von Miller's right on point. What about Shedeur Sanders? Is he bothered by the looming quarterback decision, Mike? Apparently, we said it. Speaking of quarterback battles, Deshaun, I don't know if he's going to start. It feels that way, the money involved. Here's what Shedeur said about it.
I'll say every day of my life is important. Every day is important. I wouldn't say it's a day that's not important. So that's just another day going out there doing what I got to do, honestly. I don't really feel anxiety or any pressure, you know, even going into things like that anymore because it's like that's how I approach everything. So, you know, it's just another day of going to work, you know. That's all it is for me.
Okay.
All right, balanced approach from his dad. Learn that.
Yeah,
I mean, never too high, never too low.
You can't be. And look, I think he probably knows what we know. It's still a business, and when you're a guy that's not making as much money as the guy in front of you, and Mike, that investment hasn't necessarily paid off. He probably knows. Like, but what's going to happen there? It may be similar to what we're talking about. Like, at some point, maybe Deshaun doesn't play well, and they call on Shedeur, and all of a sudden, Mike, it's his team then. You know?
Well, I mean, it's just like here in Atlanta, you know, you got guys, I mean, it's not just Cleveland, outside of Cleveland. We had guys here in Atlanta, you know, that are apparently emotionally invested in Shedeur Sanders' success. So we'll see. I mean, you know, there's a dictate from ownership that you got to get something out of Deshaun Watson's deal. They're going to try that first. And Deshaun said if he gets booed, he said he don't care. Said that yesterday to the media.
All right, when we come back, guys, we got to set some benchmarks. You know, like how many points should we average? How many sacks should we be anticipating? How many interceptions should this secondary have? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah, I couldn't remember the receiver who did work against us a few years back. Now, when I say a few years back, some of you are like, oh, 2021. Mike actually found it. It was 2017.
Yeah, and it was Jay Cutler. Remember that game? Because Grady got nailed on a ridiculous... Kind of like the same thing that happened with Brady in Tampa Bay. Data and I were talking about that. Remember when they called the roughing the passer?
Yep.
He barely grazed Jay Cutler's noggin that extended a drive. See, these things, they're like splinters in your brain if you're a Falcons fan.
Yeah.
But anyway, the guy that was lighting us up that day, 14 targets, 8 catches, Jarvis Landry.
Ate us up.
Yeah, big touchdown in that game.
And last year, it was Waddle with right. Tua who
Correct.
Ate us up.
And then we got into it, and I said, well, remember, one of the more the loss that really had me pulling my hair out was back in the day, and that was in 21, and that's when we had a 30-22 lead. We score a touchdown. Matt throws a touchdown late in the game. They score. They miss the extra point, and it was the Taylor Heineke, like, prayer that was up in the air, and it was like basically you could play the Benny Hill theme as a defensive back. It's like, kind of like the Minnesota game
That's a
couple years ago up there. Anyway, it was J.D. McKissick from then Taylor Heineke, and then we lost that one 34-30.
But
again, hopefully none of that happens this year.
Brutal. Yeah. It's
I'm doing thumbs up for those watching. Listening on the radio.
Those are the ones, you're right, but the Darren Hall one, man, and a great text from one of our listeners who was saying, man, my wife and I were at that game. We were losing our blank in our section because all week guys were joking with me when I came
There's
in there.
There's no way Darren Hall can come in here and beat the Falcons on Sunday.
And all the guys are like, man, you're right. Darren Hall, he ain't that good. Then we put him out of the game. And here comes Dobbs off the bench. I don't even know, Mike, after that game, did we learn he didn't even know the playbook? Something of that nature?
He literally learned it with because Joshua Dobbs is a rocket scientist. He spends time working with NASA. We know that. Great guy. Local connection. Played at UT. You guys remember? I'm sorry. Tennessee. Girl.
Thank you, Mike.
And goes out to get the job done. A couple guys hit me up saying that I'm talking out of my butt that I wanted to. I know Carl was more leaning on banging the drum on Tua. I've always said that Penix has got to prove he can stay healthy.
Yeah, that's Mike's MO.
That's not hating on, but again, it's because you hate. You guys, I don't know. I can't explain it. I mean, I've probably had this conversation, 100 times this offseason. I don't dislike Penix. He's a great, they're all good guys. Not anybody on this team you wouldn't like. Just talking about the reality of is he viable? That's all. Can he learn the offense? Can he stay healthy? You drafted a guy with an injury history. To say that is not to say, you guys make it sound like I say he's a piece of garbage or something. I just said Michael Penix came with an injury history. Oh, shocking. In his second year, he got injured. Okay, that's part of his resume. Can he overcome that to establish himself? I say the odds are against it. Doesn't mean it can't happen. That's it. Sorry.
But it's hard.
But I just get sick and tired of having to explain myself. Some of you guys who are so freaking soft, if you are something that you attack as negative, it's being mean, or I'm anti-someone. I'm just spitting facts, guys. Clear out your ears.
Yeah. And for me, who else you giving a chance on this team to play quarterback? Who was the other guy? And many of you didn't want to embrace that as we started this journey this offseason. Maybe it plays out the way it absolutely should. Maybe, guys, Michael Penix is ready for the season, and we don't even have to worry about whether or not we're going to have to see what Tua is or is not, or if he's washed or if he isn't. Well, maybe that's how it plays out. I said this to Mike, though, and then I want to talk about, you know, some benchmarks for this team, because I do think there are some realistic things we got to shoot for. I hope, even if he's been cleared, Mike, that they don't wait to where the season is lost to play him.
Right.
Because right. I think that's unfair. Now, when I say that, I'm saying, guys, you know, let's say we're 7 or 8 weeks into the season, and now all of a sudden, you know, they're going to hand the keys over to Michael Penix and say, show me what you got. I think that's a little bit unfair. That's why I want this decision to come earlier than that. But we don't know when that's going to happen. Again, and Stefanski saying today, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. It sounds like he's in no, like, I'm not going to say there's not urgency, but he doesn't sound like he's getting the reports every day about, hey, he's moving the way he should, and we're going to clear him.
Right.
He's just like, hey, it is what it is, and when I get the word, I'll let you guys know. There's no urgency there from his standpoint. I'm talking about the coach wanting to push this. At least that's not how he's presented this with Michael Penix. All right, real quick, offense. Can we average 24 points a game, Mike? Can we average 24 points a game?
Well, then your Bijan Robinson pick at number one in your fantasy draft will be really good. Because that means things are rolling. That means it's a balanced attack.
It was 20 last year, right?
Yeah, we need, again, cue up Arthur Smith there, Oren. Yeah, we need to score
more points. Right.
But, you know, but this is going to be difficult if Tua's not getting, Tua's got to get better because right now the baseline is really low for Tua. And then then we're talking about how does Penix come in and how does this offense look with Michael Penix under center? You know,
I mean, obviously we need to score more points.
I do mean under center. I don't mean shotgun. He'll be in shotgun. They'll be pistol, but it's still play action predicated, you know, in a Stefanski offense.
Okay.
Well, that's a convenient narrative.
I'm sorry,
Art. No, that's true, Art. 24 points. That's the benchmark. What about sacks? Look, we had 57 last year. I don't think we're getting to 57 this year. But it doesn't mean you can't be top 10 and you still can't get after the quarterback. We talked to D'Orlando Ledbetter. Go rewind on the Odyssey app. He said right now he's having a hard time seeing where those sacks are coming from based on the personnel and how things are looking right now. It's still early days, but I don't think we're getting 57 sacks and being second in the league this year, especially without those two dudes on the edge.
Well, I'll tell you, if that, then literally all these guys, there'll be a bunch of guys getting paid because all these guys on one-year contracts, that means they're popping. That means Ebikam gets it back into character. Ojulari, you know, that means that Pierce really hits the ground running, you know, whether that's in Madrid or wherever he's, you know, whenever they, however they ramp him up once he's cleared first to practice. And then you guys know it's not until November he can go with the suspension. But then maybe a guy like, you know, Dorlus gets double digits this year because of the release in the house. We talked about him with our man D-Led, but I love his game. And maybe, you know, Kendall Daniels will flash. Some of these rookies, Perkins too.
Yeah. Quarterbacks combined last year, Mike, threw for 3,700 yards. Combined. Will we have more yards by our quarterbacks this year? Will we reach the 4,000 plateau?
Man, that's a hell of an over-under bet. You know, I mean, if you're going to split this season up, I'll say no.
Okay.
I'll say you have a hard time getting there. Just based on, also Stefanski wants to run the football.
Okay.
You know?
3,700, and by the way,
We should. Any NFL team worth its salt should get 4,000 yards.
That's right. And if your quarterbacks are any good, you should. Kirk, again, didn't play all year. We know that. But 1,700 from him and then 1,900 from Michael Penix. Here's one for you. How many picks did we have last year? 16. This defense, this DB group should have 20 interceptions this year. I'm putting that on this DB. Xavier Watts? Jesse Bates?
Right. And when Billy Bowman eventually comes back from injury, you know, we got a bunch of guys that are just ball-hawking dudes. And
20 is the number for me.
That's four more. Is Avion starting as your nickel?
Yeah. I mean, unless we see an improvement from the guys who are injured and coming back, Mike, look, there's going to be a lot of guys rotating. We got a lot of flexibility in the secondary, which is good. I think in a perfect world, Billy Bowman Jr. would be your nickel guy. If everything was, you know, if he was completely healthy.
Right.
But, yeah, I think you don't pick Avion to not use him, right? You're going to figure out, and I think that's the best place for him, at least to start. Now, down the road, he will probably be a corner. But right now, that's probably where he's going to start. What's up, Day-Day?
Well, since we're right there on the DBs,
yeah.
What's the expectations for A.J. Terrell? Where do you feel more like
picks.
He's been? Yeah,
I need more picks from A.J.
Right. It's always – and we've had these conversations with A.J. about, you know, generally they don't throw at you. And we don't – with Ulbrich, we haven't specifically locked him on. I think we should lock him on always, the number one wide receiver. That doesn't always happen.
Right or left, it doesn't matter.
It's always kind of like wherever he is on the field, that's how it goes. Yep. I would lock him on because he's considered one of the top guys. And also sometimes when he does lock on the big guys, he gets burned.
Mm.
You know, there's been some big plays at Mercedes-Benz going the wrong way.
And
he generally has a low throw at rate because they usually pick on Hughes.
Yeah, exactly. Total rushing yards as a group. Okay, this is everybody. Bijan, Algier. This is Michael Penix scrambling. This was Nathan Carter. This was Kirk Cousins scrambling. 2,100 yards. As a group, are we going to rush for more than 2,100 yards? Now, remember, Bijan had 1,400 of that.
Right.
But as a group, right? Mike, you know who we hadn't talked a lot about? Brian Robinson. We hadn't talked a lot about Brian Robinson.
You know, and I'll give him credit because we've seen him at practice where he's banged up and he's out there. I mean, there's no like, I need to go talk to the trainer. You know, we've seen him, you know, get right back out there in the mix. He's a tough dude. Tyler Goodson apparently is having some good strong runs in the practice and the scrimmage against Indianapolis. Did I see that Trey Sermon's getting an IR designation?
Oh, he just got here.
Yeah, I saw that. That dropped this morning.
Oh.
Trey Sermon, former local Atlanta product, Ohio State, Oklahoma kid. So that sucks for him because he's trying to, you know, get one more contract. But anyway, well, he will get paid if it's an IR designation.
No doubt. All right, one more for you. Bijan had 7 rushing touchdowns. I think he has 10 this year.
Yeah. Well,
10.
Well, you won't have Tyler Algier to poach those in the goal line situations. That was always the knock. And Brian Robinson is more like Bijan than Tyler Algier.
Yeah. Algier had 8.
Yeah, Algier was, he was, man, if you were a fantasy owner of Bijan, which I was, Algier was that red zone poacher.
All right. Just some numbers, man. Can we get to 24 points? The sacks, don't. I do not expect this to be second.
I mean, but that's it. All starts and ends with the quarterback. You know, is Tua going to figure this out? And even if he does figure it out, they're still holding that chair for Penix.
Mm. And I'm sorry. Give me your touchdown number one more time. I'm on my service. just kidding.
Which number?
Seven for Bijan touchdown
last year.
He had a couple receiving too.
Oh, correct. Yeah, he had over 1,400 yards. Yeah. I'm not giving you the receiving numbers. Combined total receiving and rushing touchdowns. Yeah, he was one of the best in the league. But just rushing, I think he has more than that.
Right.
All right, man. We're coming back.
Interesting numbers, but again, don't mean a thing. We make it that quarterback swing.
Well, the run game can. It should help the quarterback.
But you could argue. I'm not trying to not oversimplify it. But a lot of guys, if it's a Penix struggling, or hopefully not struggling, or Tua struggling, you know what they're going to do, right?
Stack the box.
Bingo.
Oh man, it's easy. This is my concern.
Right.
See, everybody's talking about Michael Penix. You're putting him out there like a savior. If you're not able to effectively run the ball, I'm going Michael Penix. We're about to come after your ass.
Right.
That's what this is. And if you think anybody in the NFL is going to give us a break, you're not watching the NFL.
Well, they're going to say Michael Penix beat me.
So,
right? Bijan's not going to. So the way we don't approach guys like Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, teams do try to approach that with us.
That's right.
And take away Bijan.
And then that's why I brought up the mobility thing to D-Led. Neither one of them are real escapability. All right, man. We got more to dive into. What's on Day-Day's mind coming up next?
Our guys, if we're honest, are doing a better job of being fair and balanced. Talking about what they're seeing with camp, and we'll continue to debrief after practice wraps and see what's going down. Trying to hear some positives about Tua. I've been going round and round with a couple of guys on social media. ATL Bell 929 Carl has put him up, C. Dukes, and we're at Dukes and Bell 929. And follow the show, man. We do this little pre-show call behind the curtain. I mean, hey, Day-Day, we're up at 11 o'clock. People might as well watch it. But anyway, that airs on YouTube and Twitch.
And Facebook.
And we let you know what's going on and where we're going to be at with the program. But no, just real quick, wrapping up this argument. I said it earlier, and a couple guys said, I get you, Mike. I get you. Don't yell at me. And I said, I don't want to yell at people. But it just gets frustrating. I mean, we want him to see Mike. The best thing, and I've never not said it, the best thing for the franchise is Penix to win this job, to establish himself as the man, and to do things that you say, that's my quarterback. So then when next May comes up, we move on with the fifth-year option is picked up, and then we don't have to worry about trying to. Because, again, guys, look at the last few drafts. Look at the Penix draft. It's a 50-50 crapshoot. It just is, even in the first round. And there's a bunch of quarterbacks now. Carl said there's maybe a dozen guys.
Yeah.
I think there's six right now that on everyone's kind of lips. But we'll see. I just know as a Falcon fan, the best thing possible is Penix being out there. It's just frustrating that we have to go through this. And it's also frustrating because Tua missed a great opportunity if he doesn't improve where he started this preseason.
Yeah, I heard Stakey this morning saying those things, and he's blowing
it. What was Stakey saying?
He's blowing it.
You got your chance, Cha-Cha.
They're ready to get to Penix already. That's what I heard him saying. I was like, look. It's funny to me, not Stakey. It's just funny to me, Mike. The folks who are saying we got to get to Penix are the same folks who were doubting him.
Right.
Now you're begging to get him. It's crazy to me. Like, if you had this kind of confidence in him in the first place, which many of you did when we drafted him, then he got hurt and that waned because what Mike said. And so you're being hypocritical. You're saying, hey, that's my guy and I want that guy, but then you're at the same time. You weren't saying that last year.
No. And look, but if Tua is really spitting the bit, as they say in horse racing, and look, I just want to see I want to settle this argument about Michael Penix Jr. for once and for all. Either you are an NFL quarterback or you aren't.
Let me ask you. I know we got to get to Day-Day.
And by the way, I railed against Zach Robinson from the moment he was hired. I never liked the hire. You know, you and I talked about it. I know you felt the same way at times as well.
Well, I said I was watching him, and I didn't know a first-time coordinator in this situation.
With a rookie quarterback.
Yes, was the best scenario.
And I just felt you it's bad enough you wasted the 2 years from a clinical or a technical standpoint of how you could have improved his game. You know, and now here we are, year three, and he's got to learn a new system.
Yeah. Do you think he is a good quarterback? And I'm talking about Michael Penix. Do you think he's a good quarterback?
I think he's got potential. I think we all saw what he did at Washington. He's got an arm. Look, he's got a cannon for an arm. He can drop that dime. We've seen it 50 yards down the field. We see it at practice. The arm the arm is alive. It comes out. But he struggled at times with things like footwork last year. You know, and then the play action looked like it was being timed with a sundial. It never looked right. And that's why I hope Stefanski and Reese and Van Pelt figure him out.
The only thing I'm concerned about is this accuracy thing.
You can't coach accuracy, brother. That's what Fran Tarkenton says.
Well, and again, we forget one of the first things Stefanski said was that that was one of the traits that he absolutely felt like his quarterback had to have when we were starting to talk about this whole quarterback battle. And that is why people said, oh, wait a minute. Well, if that's the case, it's Tua, because he's much more accurate than Penix has been in his career. I think Penix is a good quarterback. My issue is I don't know if he's great. And if we're ever going to get to where we need to be, we need great. All right, Day-Day, what's on your mind?
Well, we're going to get back to Falcons in a second, because you guys kind of touched on something I had down here in this section that I wanted to ask you guys about. But first, I want to say shout out to Kirby Smart, man, hanging out. I mean, obviously, he's a college coach, so he's going to go check out high school football games. But he was at the Corky Kale last night.
Okay.
His nephew, Brock Burris, plays for the Kale Longhorns, who were in the second game yesterday against McEachern. And, man, he got a show. From Junior McEachern Jr., Casey Barner. It's like one of the top recruits in his class. I think he's the number one in his class of 2028.
What'd the kid do? What'd the kid do?
What'd he do? He had a rushing touchdown, an interception, tackle for loss. Like, the boy is just a ball.
He was just all over
the place.
You
just got to just put his name in, and everything from last night pops up. Like, no joke. Seriously. Like, but, yeah, Kirby got a show. I don't know if he was there to watch him particularly, because here's the thing. You look up Barner's stuff, like, when it says who's recruiting him, it's Bama, Arkansas, Auburn, Baylor, and Cal.
Mm.
Georgia is not currently listed.
Well, after last night, they will be.
I'd say bye-bye, Cal.
Did he had a Kirby drive over, or was it the Kirby copter?
You know, I didn't hear anything about the copter, but... Right.
Power move, you know, when you show up in the chopper, though.
I wouldn't be surprised, right. So, just wanted to show some love
there. It would be
funny
if his son does take Brent Key's offer and goes to Tech. He's only a freshman, but his son obviously getting a lot of juice as well.
Wouldn't that be funny?
Yeah, he commits. Game plan against
he also got Lane offered him too, if I'm not mistaken.
Andrew Smart.
So, yeah. So, all right, real quick NBA news. James Harden and the Cavs agreed to a new 3-year, $97 million dollar contract with the player option for 2028. I was like, what?
I'm sorry.
It's Carl's face.
If you're watching on YouTube, it's Carl's face.
You want to hit something crazy, Carl? He's like the fourth NBA player, third NBA player to have career earnings over $500 million on the court.
Crazy.
Over $500 million he's gotten in contract.
Me and Dylan were talking about it today. Cavs now make his fourth team, correct? Because it was OKC. Look at Carl's
eyes. And he's the second guy.
I wish I had a jump shot. Wish I had a jump shot, brother.
Second guy ever at 37. I think second guy to be 37 or older after LeBron to get $90 million guaranteed in the contract.
Isn't that wild?
I can't even see the Cavs doing jack squat. The big trade, by the way, five-man trade, yeah. A five-team trade, I should say. They boasted their point guard game. Stole the point guard from the Nuggets?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Nuggets. Either way, but yeah, Harden. $97 million, Carl.
Look, you know I could go on for days, but I'm not going to, okay? But I told y'all 10 years ago, this is a joke. And that's when he was good.
Yeah.
He's not any good anymore, okay? Can he score? He's always been able to score. But the crazy thing, Mike, is, and I know some of his people, and they said, look, Harden loves two things. Ball, because he's a gym rat. That's where all that step back craziness comes from, where you're going, he's traveling, okay? And money.
Yeah.
And he's made a lot of it.
And he's making a lot.
And he hasn't won anything.
Nothing.
Right.
So I could go on and on. But I'm going to leave it alone because I'm shocked. Mike, I didn't know. I hadn't seen that. I was busy today. We had stuff going on at cards and stuff. Yeah. And then I didn't see that because I definitely would have said something about it.
Peyton Watson goes to the Cavs. They get 14 points, a lot of assists. So that's a nice piece along with Mitchell. And you could argue with Harden, but still, where's Cleveland in your mind? Third best team in the East?
Oh, yeah. So I know we're talking about the Sixers and all that, but guys, we can't disrespect the Knicks. They're still there, man.
Strus, by the way, goes to the Clippers, or the ladies' choice for NBA action.
And by the way, I love Spider Mitchell.
Oh, me too.
But I just don't think that's the guy you partner him with to try to take you to the next level.
And Nuggets fans are saying you're not helping Joker. You basically traded the fourth best guy in Denver.
Yeah.
For nothing.
Wow.
They're in a tough spot, though, because they're up against the cap, and then Joker's going to get another big deal.
But
like Kroenke, real soon.
And Denver fans are getting mad at Kroenke because he's rich.
Yes. He's very, very rich. He's very rich.
All right, we're going to start to bring this thing back to our Falcons. Yes. So we're making our way back. All right.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for ruining my day, Day-Day.
Sorry. We're going to make our way back. But
there's been some positive updates, Carl.
Before we get back to Atlanta, Let's hear what they're saying about their quarterback in New Orleans.
I learned that Tyler Shuck is much, much better going up against teams with other jerseys than their own. He has looked outstanding in these joint practices, first against Jacksonville last week, and he carved up the Dallas Cowboys defense like a Thanksgiving turkey on Tuesday, specifically going to Chris Olave, who's our number one wide receiver. Shucks throws to Olave on Tuesday. They were 9 for 9. No balls hit the ground. Wow. 8 of those went for first downs, and the other went for a touchdown. So they've got tremendous chemistry.
So that's Todd Graffanini joining the steakhouse today.
It's one-sided.
I will say, Todd is a New Orleans guy, voice of the Pelicans.
It's one-sided.
Former voice of Tulane, so he's too close
He's too close to it.
And by the way, Todd, if you're listening, great, great family man, beautiful wife and kids. But
the longest 3 weeks of my life after Katrina when he stayed in my apartment.
Yeah?
Oh, my God. I had a big apartment. It was an old building, the Bennington.
Yeah.
But it was
penthouse, didn't you?
I did.
I did.
You did.
And it was huge. And it still was too small. Okay. It was too small. Todd Gray, I was finding cigarette butts on the balcony like months later. It's like, oh, my God. I mean, you know, it's like three, you know, no good deed goes unpunished. 3 weeks. 3 weeks.
There was a lot of that. Yeah. Hey, can we come stay with you for a little while? Weeks and months.
He lived in the garden. His house got, you know, his place got, I was like, everything in New Orleans, you got to get cleaned out and everything. But, oh, yeah, it was a long time, man. Long 3 weeks.
Yeah. But I think that's what we want to hear here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Do you agree?
Yes, that Penix is doing all the things that he just talked about Tyler Shuck doing.
Guys, Michael threw an interception in 7v7 today.
I'm sorry?
Michael Penix threw an interception in 7 versus 7.
Who did you say?
Michael Penix.
Why are you hating on Michael Penix Jr.? Penix! Well, now you're part of the conspiracy.
Oh, wait a minute! And up there, Penix!
He threw an interception in 7 versus 7 today, y'all.
Mike, that should never happen.
No, it shouldn't.
Ball should never hit the ground.
That's also said about 7-on-7s.
All right, so last one.
See, now,
but you
Oren's
see
case.
What we're saying?
See, now, yeah. Oren's anti-Penix,
just,
folks.
But you
Oren
see,
is
just
anti-Penix.
Read the updates.
But this is what we're talking about.
He threw a touchdown on a wheel route to Bijan also, yes.
Yes, right. But the interception is what's going to be talked about. All right, go ahead, Daddy. I'm sorry. Everybody's on the edge today.
All right, last thing. Speaking of Bijan, and you guys touched on this as you were closing out the last segment, but I was going to ask you guys to discuss, you know, just how much of his success is going to be reliant on the Falcons getting this quarterback situation right.
How much of his success?
Yes.
A major part of it.
Right.
If you're not able to stretch the field and teams don't fear your quarterback, mm-hmm. Bijan's not going to have the kind of season we expect him to. Everybody in the league 2 years ago thought he was good. Mm-hmm. We now know he is. There's not a team or defensive coordinator that we're not going to play that's going to go, hey, by the way, 7 is the first number he'll put on the big board.
Right.
This is the guy we got to stop. So you go into every game knowing that. If the quarterback can take some pressure off of Bijan and the fact that the defense is keying on him, because they will, yeah. Look, I'm not saying he won't have 1,000 yards, but he's not going to have the 10-plus rushing touchdowns I just talked about, the 15-plus 100 rushing yards. Mm-hmm. That those numbers then become unattainable because guess what? We don't fear your quarterback.
Right.
We don't think he can beat us. And therefore, the Bijan numbers are diminished.
The first game of the year last year, he was held to 24 yards on 12 carries. The Bucs really got after it. I mean, they really said Penix Jr. beat us. Mm-hmm. We lost that game. That's the one where Koo missed the field goal. We could have gone to overtime. Real quick, just to look at where teams. Again, San Francisco, they totally took Bijan out. Remember, that was going to be the big build-up, McCaffrey versus Bijan.
Right. Yep.
And we couldn't. That's a game where we didn't have enough guys on the field. And then we
Robert,
had too many guys on the field.
Salah.
So they're going to get after that. So, again, Salah stopped Bijan. The other team that stopped us, Vrabel and the Patriots, 12 for 46.
We didn't even attempt to run the ball.
Yep.
I remember having a conversation with Raheem Morris, and he said to me privately, you don't go into games knowing what you can't do and try to make something happen that you know that you're not able to do. Mm. They were that's why we went to the Super Bowl, guys. They were stout up front. I mean, and so, Mike, we didn't – 12 attempts?
Yeah, and the other game where Bijan was – and the only game I think he had less than 10 carries was the Miami game that got so out of hand.
Right.
So it was we became one-dimensional throwing it.
That's my fear. Yeah. To answer – for me, it's major. Because I think everybody just thinks we'll just hand it off and Bijan will be Superman back there.
Right.
Dude, those numbers Mike's spitting out right now are going to be numbers we'll see consistently against teams who don't fear that our quarterback can do the job. That's right.
All right, and that's what's on my mind, guys.
Mm. Yeah, my wife is picking first in shenanigans league. She's like, I take Bijan, right? I'm like,
good question.
Mm. It's a tough. That's a tough decision.
Good question. He's going to get the touches this year. Like, he's going to get the touches, enough?
But we just said there, if it's Tua struggling and Penix eventually taking over, and Penix a little wet behind the ears with this offense, they're going to really come after. They're going to stop Bijan.
And that was part of the conversation this morning on some of the outlets that I were watching. They were talking fantasy football, but then it came up that while Bijan should probably be your one or two pick,
right.
The problem is going to be if the Falcons don't get the quarterback position right.
But Gibbs with a new DC, a new OC in Detroit too, right?
Yeah, it was Gibbs or Bijan. Those were the one and the twos.
Right, I'm sorry, I'm tweeting about the Penix
James
pick.
Harden? Oh, the pick.
hold on. All right.
By the way, I just found an article. Jared Goff apparently getting along with his new OC. Okay. Drew Petzing is your OC in Detroit. Okay. Petzing.
I just want to know if those same cats are going to react to the Penix pick as they did to the Tua. That's all. All right, man.
Why are you hating on Penix?
I'm not. This is what I'm telling you. We got this crazy report from a dude yesterday, and everybody lost their mind. This is practice.
But again, you know, you shouldn't be throwing picks in 7-on-7.
Oh, you're right about that.